Well, you're here for a very interesting Sunday. We want to welcome you to our annual Accountability and Vision Casting Sunday. Ever since we had hands laid upon us back in May of 2004 by the elders of our home church and the prophetic presbytery that was provided to oversee our commissioning, we have held onto a promise from God. And that promise is that he was going to establish a ministry in this community that would bring healing to hearts and homes. Having been trained in ministry for at least 25 years prior to coming to Harrisburg, and I heard that thought, y'all don't look young enough, old enough to be saying that. Thank you very much. we knew the importance of laying a solid foundation of accountability to church leadership. Because from our understanding, you really don't have the right to ask others to follow you in a ministry assignment unless you have a track record of following somebody else. And so we could not require accountability of others unless we had accountability in place for ourselves. So today you are about to receive or hear the accountability report that we submit to our church family here, as well as to our overseers every year, and you're about to hear the goals and objectives that we have for this year. And we pray that this presentation inspires and encourages and encourages you to take another step in your commitment. We send this accountability report to three seasoned pastors. Not only do we send this report that you're about to hear, but we go into more detail with them. We talk to them about the status of our marriage, and we give them an update on our sons and how they're doing, and because life is really different for children of pastors. And we also just kind of really go gut level honest with them about stuff that's all pastoral and all that kind of thing. You know what I mean? And we've been submitting this annual accountability report to these men since 2005. Every year they get this report. And we're directly connected to Bishop Raphael Green and his Bridges to Peace initiative from Metro Associates, and I'll talk to you about that later. And we also are affiliate pastors with the Urban Pastors and Leaders Alliance based in St. Louis, Missouri. And I still serve as the vice president on the executive board of Metro Associates in St. Louis, Missouri. And I'll talk to you about that a little bit later also. All right, hand it to my wife.
We're tag teaming today. You're gonna do the PowerPoint for me, right? Please, thank you. Last year in 2014, our theme was an open door for ministry in hearts and homes. We had two foundational scriptures. The first was Revelation 3:8. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. The second foundational scripture was Colossians 4:2-3. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. As we started in 2014, since we had no official leadership team, we felt we needed to build from the core church family membership and partners. We don't use hype and promises of one day being big, famous, and rich to get people involved in the work of the Lord. We don't use the promise that God will cause all their dreams to come true. No hype, no gimmicks. We just call people to follow Christ with all their hearts. Give up your life to him since he gave up his life for you. So the keys to success in this ministry are the presence of God, prayer, prayer, and prayer, relationships regarding marriage, family, and ministry, commitment and competency, compassion and consistency. We still believe that if we can just do this for one solid year, there's no telling how far-reaching this ministry's influence will become in the healing of our families and relationships. So here's what we tried to do consistently last year. Our weekly agenda was on first Sundays, corporate prayer and Holy Communion. On second Sundays, equipping families to do the work of the ministry. On third Sundays, family impact sessions. On fourth Sundays, equipping families to do the work of the ministry. And on fifth Sundays, there was no family. It was called Family Day, and there was no gathering. It was just a time to enjoy your family, to spend time with family. And there was a daily noonday prayer in the home of Mom Dennis, which we so appreciate and have felt the impact of. There is nothing like having intercession going on for you. And there were weekly emails on every Wednesday to stay in contact with each other during the middle of the week. In 2014, we started the year in our own space, in this space here, a studio assembly suite. We launched a professional advertising and marketing campaign. In fact, God gave us favor with one of the TV stations who contacted us to advertise on their TV station and took care of setting it up and everything. We launched a new website that had mobile device application. We laid the foundation for a new We Made a Pact blog talk radio show. In September of 2014, we celebrated 10 years of ministry in Harrisburg. Our 10th anniversary theme was Faithful with Little, Prepared for More. And the scripture was Luke 16. It was our theme scripture. It reads, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much."
Thank you, babe. Sorry, we used the pet name out loud, puppy. We don't want to just read all of this to you, but I wanted you to want to kind of lay this foundation for things that we want to say later. Overall, in 2014, this gets into some of the details. So, I want you to really see the impact that what was happening throughout the year. We actually met 47 Sundays. One of those Sundays we did a live stream. It was happened to come on June. It was a fifth Sunday in June. And the reason why I mention that is because that was a Sunday. There was a national call to prayer went out called I think it's called to fall on our knees. They were asking everybody to pray because the terrorist threat went up to the highest level. It was the weekend before July the 4th. And so they called for all the churches around the country to pray. And it was a fifth Sunday for us, which was a Sunday that we didn't meet. But we said, well, we'll just go online and we'll do a live stream from our house to at least pray together to join in with all the other churches around the country that were praying for America. There was another on one Sunday. We had one Sunday, the team hosted the gathering because my wife and I were in St. Louis performing the wedding of one of my nieces, and you guys held it down. I just wanted to acknowledge that. Thank you guys so much. You held it down. And that always, that a pastor is always very, very happy, very proud when they can leave and know that everything's going to go on without them. For what I've been trained in, that's what leadership is. Leadership is when you can leave and everything can keep going on without you. We ministered on the final Sunday of the year at Cumberland Valley Church, Pastor Paul Lebo at the barn. And we had four Family Day Sundays, which we don't gather, as Pastor Carol mentioned, it's time for us to spend time with family. And we've been doing that the last few years. Again, that was very intentional. I mentioned it to one of the pastors in the area, and he said, we ought to do that. Fifth Sundays, don't have to come to church. But that came out of something that happened way back in our earliest of years here in Harrisburg during the time when we were meeting on Friday nights and Saturday nights. My wife and I would go to Cracker Barrel on Sunday mornings for breakfast. That became our date time. Every Sunday morning, we go to Cracker Barrel. And so, and we get there, and Cracker Barrel be packed out on Sunday morning. You're like, oh, folks don't go to church. They go to Cracker Barrel. They go to movies. They go everywhere. But I know why, because for most people, Sunday morning is the only time off from work. It's time to be together with their family. So I'm like, okay, that's something I think we should take advantage of here in the house of God, of giving the people of God a Sunday that you don't have to come to church, but be with your family. And so, and again, since we've told you we were sent here and planted specifically with an emphasis in marriage and family, then why not set aside time for family to meet and be together? So that's what that was all about. All right. So you guys hearing all about our church, all in one setting. All right. During the year, we maintain weekly prayer list interceding for 8 local and regional ministries. There were several families in crises and emergencies that we were called to pray about. Again, Pastor Carol mentioned our noonday prayer led by Mom Mary Dennis in her home. And you can also see our prayer list and our agenda on our website, on the Urban Life website. You can actually see the specific things and prayer requests that are there and that we are praying about. And some of our accomplishments in 2014, as far as our missions and outreach, we provide monthly support to Bethesda Missions here in Harrisburg. Bethesda is a ministry that ministers to folks who are homeless are going through a really tough time in their life in the downtown area of Harrisburg. We support them monthly. We support Kingdom Quest Ministries, which is John and Carrie Shuey, and their ministries and going to India and Pakistan. We support All Girls Aloud, which is a ministry that supports women in China to encourage them to have their babies. There in China, they can't have but 2 children. If they try to have any more, they're forced to abort. And so the women try to have, no, 1 child. They can only have 1 child. They can only have 1 child. And when it's a girl, they usually abort because they want a boy to continue the family line. Yeah, so they usually abort the girls. So we give to the ministry that encourages women who find out that they're pregnant with a girl to have the girl. And this ministry provides financial support and all kinds of support to encourage them. You know, we'll pay for it. We'll take care of your medical bills. We'll get food, we'll, you know, clothing, whatever you need for the baby. So we support this ministry that's encouraging these women to not abort their girls. We also provide monthly support to Living Hope Alliance. This is a ministry that's supplying help to the Kurdish refugees right now. Who had to flee from ISIS when ISIS broke out in that area and massacred hundreds and hundreds of people. These Kurds were huddled in these camps, refugee camps, and so we started supplying support to the ministry called Living Hope Alliance, which actually has gone there twice so far, taking food and supplies and medical supplies and everything to these ministries. So we give to that ministry every month. We also give to Healing Tree, specifically to the Unite to Restore effort. Unite to Restore already had a prayer conference here. They're scheduling one for Cleveland, Ohio, and in other cities around the country. So we're financially supporting them as well. Throughout the year, there were some people that we supported on a one-time basis. We sent an offering to Robert Tate Dyslexia Foundation, to Vicky's Angels Cancer Foundation. This was on behalf of Little Treyana, and to Harrisburg Christian School on behalf of Little Maurice Hodges. So you can tell we believe in giving and supporting others in this. So we believe in accountability. We believe in supporting and blessing other ministries. Well, we made very important community connections in 2014. As I mentioned, we participated in the Unite to Restore America conference with several churches and ministries and organizations from around the world at the Giant Center in Hershey. We had about They estimated 1,500 to 2,000 people that were present that day in the Giant Center for that all-day prayer conference. We attended the Harrisburg Hope Town Hall meeting. I attended it. This was in the wake of the Michael Brown shooting in St. Louis, so the community in Harrisburg came together with Representative Patty Kim, police chief, the DA, representatives from the DA office, and several community groups and organizations, and I went also. I wanted to see and hear what the community was saying. I was tremendously enlightened. I didn't get a chance to say anything or ask any questions. They had a super long line, and by the time I was about three people away from the mic when they cut off all the questions. So, but at least I was able to be a part of that meeting. My wife and I attended a fundraiser for the Latino community called Estamos Unidos of Pennsylvania, which means we are united. This is a Latino community-based group here in Harrisburg that started back in 2002. And what they do is they provide assistance to help Latino children here in this community with everything from culture, being able to integrate into the community, learn English, get scholarships to go to school, and it's amazing how far they've come. They've been here, and in 12 years, I've watched them do far more in 12 years than I've seen our people do, and they've been here all their life. I just say it. I know I might offend some people in Harrisburg from hearing it, but I say that to encourage you that we got to do better. That Latinos come in here, and in 12 years, they already got scholarships and helping kids to go to college. And they're not little $500 scholarships either. They're doing $5,000 scholarships, full ride scholarships. In 12 years, they've come together as a community, and they've done that. And we're still kind of, all right. But that's why we believe it's part of the reason why God sent us here, to kind of provoke, inspire, and reason why you see us giving toward other ministries, because we're trying to make a statement. You can't come in saying, give me, give me, give me. You go in and invest, invest, invest. And we have to do that with our kids too. All right. Our internet outreach continues to be pretty amazing. I didn't know how this happened. We just simply wanted to do something to keep us connected throughout the week. We only meet once a week on a Sunday morning, so the best way to stay connected was internet. So now our Facebook's got 141 subscribers, and our email and newsletters has 92 subscribers, and we got a Fruitful Life Network page that's got 411 subscribers. But our ministry website is the thing that's most incredible to me, is that from 2010 to 2014, it had over 127,000 page views, over 600,000 hits. And in 2014 alone, our page views reads like a United Nations review, with our most hits, of course, coming from the United States, but then followed by these are on our website. I'm able to go into the analytics, and this is where you can see what countries you're getting views from. So we're getting views from Ukraine, Russian Federation, Great Britain, Netherlands, Germany, China, Lithuania, Saudi Arabia, France. We don't do no marketing. We don't do none of that stuff. This is just God causing it to get out. That's God. I know that there are people that are spending mega bucks in advertising and even trying to get on Christian television. But I believe you guys always hear me and my wife say this. You do the best you can with what you have, and you give it to God. And we're just believing that there are some people. I find it very interesting that we had all these hits that came in from the Russian Federation, and now you look at what's going on in Russia now, which means there's some people in that nation who are looking for God. I feel like crying now. They're looking for God. So, yeah, they'll go and they'll search, and they're just, kind of just browse through American internet trying to find something, and to find somebody 3,000 page views. That's not just clicking on once and moving on. That's somebody constantly coming back to get a word from God. You'll never know. My brothers and different people keep telling us, we'll never know the impact of our obedience. And I'm not saying this for Chris and Carol. This is all of us. You've given and sown. That's what kept us with the ability to be online in the first place. We won't know the impact of what our obedience to God was doing on a global scale. Boy, oh boy. You just had no idea what you were saying. It's not in the big numbers. God will take a remnant and turn the world upside down. Bless the Lord. Come on, bless him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. So it's still blowing us away. That is. That we're helping a ministry there in China and we're actually getting page views from China. It's just, God, you're doing something. Sowing and reaping. Yeah. And I can't imagine how much further we could go with, because me and Carol are just those type of people. I'd love to give our whole internet outreach and ministry to other people to handle and to do it. Because they can do it far better than me. I'm not really all that adept at social media and all of that. But that's just with it just sitting there. Not without even actually interacting with people. I know that there are companies who actually hire people to do nothing but social media. And they're just online and they're responding to people. Questions coming into the organization or to the group, and they're just there. That's their job, to respond and interact with people. They call it building a good customer base and all that kind of stuff. We call it evangelism. Yep. Some of them are multimedia accomplishments. We were able to provide. This still amazes me when I look at this, that we were able to complete our 12th book in 10 years. Isn't that amazing? That's just God. and the issue is on those books is that all we're doing is just taking the emails, the weekly letter that we send out to everybody, and we just compile it all in a book. And Carol is right now going through the process of reading them all from the very first one all the way up. And we're getting refreshers and reminders of things that God has been saying to us through the years. And it's just amazing how consistent the word of the Lord has been, that we're still preaching and teaching the exact same thing in 2015 that we were in 2007. It's just, you can go all the way back and we're still saying the exact same thing. And it's not that I go back and look at a previous email and then rewrite it. I'm just writing whatever God's got on my heart each week. And Carol writes, and it's just amazing to us when you look at what God has done. But 12 books in 10 years, I can't get all into that. I think I sent you guys an email about that, the significance of each one of those numbers in Hebrew culture. 10 and 12, numbers of completion. So God's got something else that he's moving us into now, and we want to be ready. 900 plus videos in our online library, and 4 books are available on our website. You can download them for free. It comes out as a PDF file. So we try as much as we can to keep investing and giving. Wow. And how were we able to do all these wonderful things? Well, it was because of those who financially supported and invested in the Urban Life Mission. And so let's take a look at the 2014 financial report. We started the year. Now, there's a real important reason why I always start you off to tell you where we stood at the beginning of the year. This is how much was in each one of our accounts when we started the year. So basically, we started the year with $3,326.60. That's how much we had when we started on January the 1st. This is a quick overview of our financial report for the year. Our income for the entire year, just this little small group of people, was $25,140. I know y'all look and go, what? Yeah, $25,140 was our income for the year. Our expenses were, we break it up into 3 categories, which I'll go into detail later, was ministry and services. This is our giving and our outreach, what goes out to others. $5,920, which, as you can see, is more than 10%. It's 20%, a little more than 20%. So we believe in giving. This ministry believes in giving. Our general administrative expenses, you can see the amount, 18,917,22, miscellaneous expenses. And so when you add it all up, that comes to $26,285.77, which meant we spent $1,100 more than what we took in for the year. Now you see why I told you how much we had at the start of the year, because we had the ability to spend more because we had so much sitting in the bank when we started the year. But I'm just still overjoyed that we had $25,000 that came in that even enabled us to spend $26,000 for the year. We break up our income in these categories. We call it first fruits offering. That's those who identify their offering as being either their tithes or first fruit. I know there's debates in the body of Christ about if whether it should be tithes or should be free will offerings or called a first fruits offering. So we just called it all first fruit offering because we know people come to a ministry and they come from all different kinds of backgrounds and teachings. And so we just try to help people by just saying first fruit offering, whatever you give into God off the top, whether you call it free will offering or tithes, just whatever you give to God off the top, we classify it as first fruits offering. Then any offerings that are not identified, we just call it general offerings. And so that's how we divide up the categories. Now, when it comes to those ministry services offerings, I mean expenses, now here's a little bit more of the detail. And I won't try not to bore you with all of it because you have it on your sheet. But at least you're able to see how we classify our giving. We break it up into what we give to local organizations, national organizations, international organizations, any special contributions and donations that we make. And, of course, I've already identified those by giving you all the different people that we have given to and even the special contributions like to the Cancer Foundation and the Dyslexia Foundation and the Harrisburg Christian School donation that we made. And of course, we had a guest speaker this year, and there's the honorarium that we gave. Then our multimedia expenses, again, this because our multimedia is all about our efforts to give out. We have an internet video. We pay an annual fee to use the server that houses all of our videos. So we've got 900 videos out there, and it only costs us $59.60 a year because we're using, we're stored on a server. That company is called Vimeo. Some of you have probably seen that little title. Video production, $80. That's what it costs for us to use to create that introductory video that you see on our website and on the beginning of all of our teaching sessions. Website services, when you get a website, you have to pay an annual hosting fee to use their server, and you also register the domain, and you have to pay for the actual address. So that name, UrbanLifeFamilyCenter.org, has to be paid for every year. You have to. That's how it is, isn't it? Something in our email service, we use a company called iContact. And this is the fee that they charge every year for us to be able to send emails through their system. And then the books, which sit out there on the table, which are free. That's why you see it's listed as a ministry service, because we don't charge for the books. We pay for the books. That's why we like to let everybody know. When you get something for free, somebody paid for it. And so this is the cost of those books that you see sitting out there for free. So that's how you get a total of $5,900 in ministry services. The general administrative, the transaction fee is the fee that the PayPal system uses. Every time someone makes a donation on PayPal, PayPal keeps a portion and sends us the rest. I say this to you not so that you stop using PayPal, because that's just... Those of us who do business, that's the cost of doing business. It's one of those things that we love to be able to teach here in Harrisburg someday as ministries are coming along, because since I've been here, I've noticed a lot of people trying to cut corners and getting around certain expenses. But And there's another Christian company that has a service like this, and there's it costs the same as PayPal. Even the Christian company pays the same. So we are planning on switching to the Christian company because we want our money to go into the kingdom of God. But I just want you to know we're not trying to get around that. And it is easier. And it is, and to be honest with you, I've never tried to skirt around those types of expenses. In other words, using something like PayPal or some online service, they're in it. It's their business. So pay them for their business. They're offering us a service. And I'm trying to get our people, when I say our people, talk about black folks, to stop trying to get stuff for free. Stop trying to get the most I can and without making any investment. It's their business. If they're offering me a service where people can easily send in their offerings and they keep part of this, they keep part of it as part of their service, then pay them. That's the cost of doing business. And I don't mind paying the cost. I just don't want nobody taking advantage of me in the cost of doing business. So when I found a Christian company that offers the same service, I'm going to switch to them. And it's the same amount as PayPal. But it's actually very inconvenient for me and whoever in the future takes over this aspect, which I certainly want to give to somebody else, that they don't have to. Here's the reason why I say it's the cost of doing business. Now, would it pay them that? I think it's 2.9% that comes off of all the off whatever amount comes through, or the time it takes to sit there, count money, put together a deposit, run it to the bank. Just pay them. Because believe me, I did it for years in our home church in St. Louis. It's far, far, far more cost effective to pay for that company to receive the fee than to have to pay somebody. Yes. Oh, I can't think of the name of it right now. A friend of mine in St. Louis sent it to me. I can send it to you. I have it ready for you next. Oh, you want to know? Oh, you want to know what's the name of that company that you can use? I'll send it to you. I'll definitely get it to you. Yeah, because they sent it to me right at the end of the year. And I was like, man, I wish I had known about this at the start of 2014. I found out about it at the end of 2014. And then let me continue. Then copyright license. When we're playing these videos and singing along with all that music, you pay to do that. Many Christian churches don't know that because it's somebody else's music. And so you must legally do that. You must legally display lyrics to a song, playing music, especially since we have an online ministry. And so I'm paying for two licenses. We pay for two licenses. We pay for one for playing the music and displaying the lyrics in here, and we pay for another license for playing the music and displaying it online. Yeah, many don't know that this, yeah. It's called the Christian Copyright Licensing Incorporated. If you Google it, you can just Google CCLI, and it'll come up. And they'll tell you all of the things that you really are supposed to be paying for. Even when your choir or your praise team is up singing songs and displaying the lyrics and they're singing other people's stuff, you're actually supposed to pay for the license to do that. Because you're publicly displaying someone else's music. Now the license is only the amount of the license just depends upon the number of people in your congregation. We only have 10 people, so I think which means we pay the lowest fee, because they ask you how many people, what's your congregation size, and based upon your congregation size, that determines the amount of your license. And so you can see we don't have very much license. I got two licenses for $115 because we're so small. There are churches who are paying, you know, $300, $400, and $500 a year because they've got congregations of, you know, 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 people. So many people are seeing it, you pay a higher amount. And the way that works is there's supposed to be someone who's there in your church who's keeping a log of all of the songs that are sung, that are displayed each week, and then you're supposed to report it to CCLI. And then the CCLI is collecting this information from churches all over the world, and then they will pay the original songwriter their royalty for your church using their song, which means it's making the body of Christ do right by each other. That's all they're doing. They're making us do right by each other. You're singing so-and-so's song, you're paying a license, and so they're collecting to find out whose songs are being sung, when and where, and then they actually send a check to the publishing company from these churches saying, we're all doing right by each other. Yes.
So is this something that's new?
Because we're displaying the words. Because in a hymnal, the church has purchased that book. They purchased the book, so the publisher already has they got the money because we bought the book with the hymns in it. Now, when it comes to displaying stuff, there's nobody paying for nothing. We just made a slide, put it on the PowerPoint, put the words up there, and it bypasses the whole system. Yeah. But it's really just making the body of Christ. We're doing right by each other. It really is. And I've noticed that through the years, more and more, we discovered that when we start doing right, just doing right, God would bless the ministry. He would bless us for doing right. Now, I've been a recipient, if you don't know, I've been a recipient of those royalties. Back when my wife and I were youth pastors at our home church in St. Louis, we wrote over 100 songs. And we registered our songs with Christian copyright license. We did 3 or 4 different CDs with the young people. We don't know how that music got out. But all of a sudden, I started getting royalties from Canada and Africa for my songs, which meant somehow, some way, those CDs got across the world, and they started singing those songs in their churches or with their youth ministry, and they logged it and reported it. And I got, it was never that much. It was always like $25 or something like that, you know. But at least it was one of those, wow, somebody actually, you know, I was more impressed that it was encouraging, yeah. And also just impressed that, wow, y'all singing one of my songs up in Canada? What? Africa? How did that happen? In fact, I just got a royalty check of about $25 this week from another one of my songs that had been reported. So I just find it interesting that we did what was right and didn't know somebody was going to do right by us. Yeah, we weren't even thinking about somebody, you know, reporting our stuff. We were just trying to make sure we reported theirs. But that's what I mean by God will bless you. If you do right, it'll come back to you. One of those lessons we want to teach, want to get it across. Just do right. Don't try to cut corners and all that kind of stuff. And obviously the lease here is our biggest expense. And it's been a walk of faith to do this. When we first got into this building back in end of 2009, I think it was, it's hard to remember. Lord have mercy. It's been years just flying by, right? But when we first got in here, we were paying $300 a month. And then we moved and we needed to get into another space, and that went to $600 a month. Somebody caused trouble, almost got everybody all put out of here. We were ready to move, ready to quit, like this is not working. And then God provided this space, but this space was almost $1,100 a month. I'm like, God, you're going to make us almost double again? And at a time when we were ready to quit, and y'all know, our membership didn't increase, but God opened up the space, and we had just been promising, telling everybody, God said next year is going to be a year of an open door. It's going to be an open door year. We kept saying it before the year started, and this opened. And it's like, well, I can't go back and tell the congregation, you know, I know the Lord said this is a year an open door, but we ain't really got the money to afford no more space now, so we went for it, and we have never been short the amount of money, never, ever. So I'm testifying to myself today, but you can see the rest of the expenses that we've had throughout the year. If you have any questions on any particular one, you can just easily email me. I'm not offended by questions on budget or expenses or anything, not at all, because we got nothing to hide. Not at all. My wife and I, as you can see, there's no salaries. We take nothing. And this is to make sure that we do this so that our congregation can see exactly how everything was spent. Refreshments, food, and fellowship, that expense, as you guys know, Harrisburg's Best Secret, Juanita cooks all that great food. Oh, my God. She cooks, and they bring all the receipts and bring back the change and all of that. And so we get exact amounts. Conference registration, that was the Unite to Restore tickets that we purchased. And it's just so you can see everything. And so we ended up with a net income for this year of a negative $1,145.77. But that was because we started the year with so much. And there's now I'll show you those balance sheets side by side that we started with $33,26.60. I don't see it. Oh, well. And then we, at the end of last year, December 31st, we had a balance of $21,80.83. And guess what the difference is between the start of the year and the end of the year? If you subtract this from that, the difference between this number and this number is this. And that's how you know that the accounting was exactly on point, because there's no way in the world it would have been, if there had been any jostling, fooling with the numbers, there's no way in the world that it would have balanced out exactly the same amounts. It couldn't have. So I love doing that, because that's also when I was balancing everything. And the reason why I do this is because for 17 years, I was the bookkeeper, executive pastor in our home church in St. Louis. And not boasting or bragging, but we averaged somewhere between $800,000 and $900,000 a year in income. And we always made dead sure that we balance. And that's really hard with that amount of money. It really is hard. and giving people a check and saying, go purchase what you need, bring back your receipts, bring back your change, give us a report. And then all these reports come in from all these different departments, and you've got to enter all this information, and everything's got to come out balanced. And 1 year we were off by $2.62, and it drove me nuts. $900,000 worth of money, and we were off by $2.62. And Pastor Chris is going through the whole, I was going through everything trying to find where was the $2.62 off, whose report, whose expense. And we even had a professional auditor that came in. We brought in a guy who audited Fortune 500 companies. He was a member of our church. And that's another thing that we like to do also. We brought in, let people from our church, who this was their expertise, they did this stuff. And actually the way we're operating here is not the way it's supposed to be, meaning the person who collects the offering shouldn't be the same person that counts the offering, shouldn't be the same person that deposits the offering, shouldn't be the same person who does the data entry. But because it's just me and Carol, that's how it's been for these past 10 years. But we ain't never wanted to do all this. Never. And hadn't done it in years. In our home church, Carol did the data entry. But a whole other set of deacons collected the money. Completely different set of deacons counted the money. We had a courier service that came and picked up, an armored car service came and picked up the money and made the deposit. And when Carol did the data entry, that would be the only time she saw the offering envelopes. She would data entry based upon offering envelopes. And then after she did her data entry, then it had to match what the deposit was. Whew. And going through all them steps and having to come out perfectly every single week. Woo. You got to have some serious system in place. And we did for many years. And so I'm not boasting. I'm just talking about this is where we come from. We come from this great sense of order and accountability. And so you can see it was really difficult when I got here to Harrisburg and I ran into all this kind of lackadaisical, well, it don't really matter, well, whatever. No, I'm like, no, that you're leaving room for the enemy. Leaving lots of room for the enemy. Hearing stories of pastors who only deposit the checks. You know, they keep all the cash. And they only deposit the checks in the church. I'm like, And so we try to make sure that everything comes out balanced. And this is one of the double check ways of making sure that you're in balance. That your balance sheet should match your financial statement sheet. This is a historical view. Yes, I did. After the audit, then I went back through because it drove me crazy. I couldn't take it. And when you're operating with so many different ministries in the church, we had over 20 different ministries in the church, and all of them had their own expense accounts. And so it's very hard because you're trying to get into somebody else's head and their receipts and their stuff to try to find it. You know, it ain't like now it's just, you know, three accounts and, you know, we don't really do a whole lot from week to week. So, yeah, I did find it. Yeah. But this is a historical view of the ministry income. And so we've still been able to keep moving forward in spite of the drastically decreased income. Because when we first started, as you guys saw, we were really going forth. When we came here, we actually moved here in 2004, that first year, 44,000. Then the second year, it jumped up to 52,000. So now you can see, I'm just operating in the same pattern as my home church. Because in our home church, our first year was 50,000. Then it went up and kept going. So I'm thinking, well, we're sailing. And then you guys see what happened. And everybody left, and they're like, gone, and then, and it bottomed out in our worst year, 2009. Now, y'all better believe that Pastor Chris and Pastor Carol was like, okay, God, are you sure that you even want us here? Did we miss your will? Do I need to call home and tell them we're coming back? We repent. We're sorry. But since we've been in this building, we've steadily gone up. In 2013, it went down because of all the trouble that we had here in this facility. You can see the effect that we had. We missed 11 Sundays in 2013. We were not able to meet in here 11 Sundays. Yeah, it was like, 25% of the year. Yeah, so that's why that income dropped in 2013. So 2014 has been the highest income that we've had since 2005. And so that may look small on the scale, but for us, we're rejoicing. Like, thank you, Lord, we're back on track. That's what we saw. And Carol and I want to thank you for your investments. So when you hear about all the things that we've been able to do this past year, that's why. I will also admit that there's a lot of things that we are due that we get done that are beyond money because the Lord, you know, my actual training is in media and all of that. So video editing and all this, you know, internet work, all that kind of stuff. Normally you would be paying somebody to do all of that. So I'm able to give that as a service to the house of God. So only thing that it ever reflects there is just the cost of the internet service, the cost of the video, but not the hours that it takes to do all of that. And I don't mind. That's just what I do and what I did for years in St. Louis. We actually had two TV broadcasts on cable, on the two cable stations back there, and I was the producer. And in 1999, I got Producer of the Year Award for the St. Louis area for religious, they call it religious broadcast. So that's just what I do. And that's my day-to-day job. I work for the department, I work for the state in the communications office. So I love doing that. Absolutely love doing that. You can probably tell I get excited just talking about it. But this is our monthly expense. In other words, this is the minimum amount that we currently need each and every week just to meet our expenses for the year, $1,500 per month. And God has just, through you guys, just been meeting the need. The theme for this year, 2015, and I'll just move quickly here now, is it's all for the harvest. It's all for the harvest. I want you to remember that the rest of this year, no matter what we are doing, no matter what we're facing, no matter what is happening, that it really is, it's all for the harvest. And our theme scripture for this year is going to be Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2, which says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into whose harvest? His harvest. Incredible, incredible revelation in that scripture alone, that first of all, the Lord appointed 70 and sent them two by two before his face and said into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So he sends people ahead of his coming. Whew, that'll preach all by itself, won't it? So you wonder, why has God sent us here? Not just me and Carol, but why has God sent us wherever it is that he's appointed you to? Why? Because he sends us out ahead of his coming. Oh, my Lord. Because it's his harvest. He said, I just need some laborers. I just need some laborers because I'm coming. We don't have to feel there's some type of pressure for us to make something happen. Just go and tell them, I'm coming. Get ready. That's what John did. John just said, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. The one's coming after me, he's the one that you need to be looking for. Don't pay attention to me right now. I'm just on the scene to tell you to get ready because he's coming. That's our job right now. Tell people he's coming. Get ready. Get your house in order. Get your family in order. Get your life in order. He's coming. Oh, bless the Lord. I don't feel no pressure on that. Come on, bless him. That way, see, we don't feel the pressure to perform. It's not on me to perform. No. I ain't got to make nothing happen. Just go and get ready. Get ready. And then John, the 4th chapter, verse 35 says, do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. To me, this addresses a serious issue for those of us who grew up in church where they always was talking about God's about to move. The move of God is coming. God's about to. See, I mean, God is always about to do something. When is he ever going to do something? Well, here is Jesus said, no, there is no more in 4 months. Now, the harvest is ready now. That's why I'm sending them out two by two now. Come on, say, Lord, I'm ready now. I'm ready now. Thank you, Lord. Somebody need to hear that word today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Next Sunday, my wife, she's going to be leading us in our prayer time because we're going to be dealing with these issues about the harvest because the harvest season requires an understanding that there will be longer days. We got friends who used to be farmers, not used to be, but are farmers. And they said at harvest season, there are longer days. So it's going to take a commitment. At harvest season, there's going to be less leisure, which means you're going to have to move and operate out of compassion. she'll be able to talk to you about that even better than I can. Because she's going to be leading us in prayer on all of these areas. But there is less leisure. In other words, we are Americans. And Americans, we live for the weekend. We live for the next day off. And when you come into the harvest season, I'm living for him alone. And even in the time that would normally be my leisure laid back time, I'm trusting in the grace of God to give me the strength to keep on moving and operating in harvest, because harvest is very, they said when their crops are ripe, they can't operate in their normal work day time, because the harvest is ripe for a certain amount of time. Otherwise, you lose the harvest. So you got to go after it while it's ready, no matter how long it takes. It's only for a season. So that's the thing about it. Yes, there are seasons where it's like, man, I'm dead tired. God, I got to pray for another person. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. The times he keeps waking you up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and people come over, or somebody calls you, and you got to go through what, in spite of what you're going through, and you really need to sleep, and you got stuff going on in your own life, but now you got to take time with them. Yeah, that's harvest. That's what harvest is like. But the issue is, see, it's not going to always be like that, but you got to go after it while it's there. And what I've noticed about being in this region of the country is there isn't that go for it no matter how long it's going to take mentality that you must have for harvest. It's not going to always be like that, but when it's the time, you got to go for it with everything. No matter how long it's going to take, you know, because we like these deadlines. We like to say, well, we're going to go on a 21-day fast. But, you know, they call it the Daniel fast. But actually, Daniel didn't know it was going to be 21 days. Daniel's mentality was, I'm just going to fast until I get an answer. He didn't know it was going to be 21 days. So we got to have that kind of mentality. Not, I'm counting down, 19, 18 more days. 17 more days, because here's what always happens. When you try to put God on a deadline, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, you're still waiting for the breakthrough, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. God still ain't moved. Ain't nothing happening. Why? Because you got that mentality. It must happen in this time frame. But in this harvest season, no, ain't no deadline. It's going after him. 3 weeks then gone by. 4 weeks then gone by. 5 weeks then gone. See, then you understand why the Lord would put us through in this crazy 10 years of preparation. Because harvest season hits, and you already got the mentality. Do whatever it takes. Go for it with all you got. No matter how long it takes. Even the people that we've watched on television, whether success in business or entertainment or sports, none of them had that kind of mentality of just go to a certain point. They were going forward with everything. I don't care how long it takes. People had to put them out of the gym when they were practicing. They had to put them out of the weight room. Dude, we got to close down. They had to put them out of the classroom. They had to put them out the library because they were studying. And said, I don't care how long it takes. I got to do this. That's what harvest is. I got to do this. I don't have a deadline on God. I don't have a deadline. I just got to get this done until all of the harvest is in. That's what he's after. So we're saying this year, it's all for the harvest. I'm not pursuing it for money. I'm not pursuing it for fame. We're not trying to be the next version of the Potter's House in Harrisburg. Don't need the headache. God told us to operate in stealth. You know what stealth is? Undercover. Don't nobody know. In fact, you can do a lot more damage when you're undercover. So God's getting us out of American mentality, which says, if I make all of this sacrifice, one day somebody's going to recognize it and honor me and pay me. Stealth says, I'm going after it undercover, and I'm going to wait until that day. Stand before him. And he says, well done. Because he already told us, all the awards and applause that you get in this earth, that's all you'll ever get. Lord, when I came across that scripture, I remember me and my wife, we looked at that and we said, I ain't gonna even let nobody applaud us now, because I don't want no glory here. For him to say, they get those religious folks, they get all this applause and admiration here in this life. That's all they'll ever get. I'm like, please don't give me credit for nothing. I don't want to lose none of my rewards because y'all tried to give it to me here. Because every bit of applause and awards and ceremonies, and because, you know, I know in our generation, especially here in America, we see the award shows, the Grammys, the Doves, the Oscars, the Emmys, and they're telling the people telling their stories and the sacrifices that it made. And we're sitting there and we're watching and we're like, I wish that could be me. I wish that I could. Deep inside, you know, I want something. And we got, and the Holy Spirit is inside of us saying, I do have that for you. But not some little temporary thing that's just going to burn here. Athletes spend all their lives working toward this moment they win a championship, and you can't tell me who won the World Series in 2012. Who won gold medals in the last Olympics? Can you name anybody that won a gold medal in the last Olympics? And those people spent their whole life for that moment that's forgotten. Just a few years later, don't nobody even know you. Which means you got all the reward you're going to ever get. You got your 5 minutes of fame. No, I'd much rather have the rewards that he has for us. So that's what this is about this year. I ain't gonna go through all these sheets, obviously, but it's all for the harvest. So when you're going through a real hard time, I mean, they ain't tell you they ain't coming, and the opposition is there, keep reminding yourself, it's for the harvest. It's not about me. There's somebody who's watching my life. It could be our children, it could be our siblings, it could be family members, it could be a coworker, classmates, neighbors. They know we're going through hell just like them. But they're looking at a difference, looking for the difference. And we get a chance to be the difference. So when we're going through, the Lord had to change the cry in my heart always, why me? Lord, why are you letting this happen? When Paul had already told us, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. There's going to be opposition. When you try to do things God's way, I know it feels like, well, God, why do you let that happen? Because he said the servant is not greater than the master. You see how they treated me. So how you think they gonna treat you? Men, it's true. Men love darkness. They love darkness. And when you come in with your bright, shining self, you only thing you thinking about is what you going through in your life, but don't have no clue that when you walk into work, I want you to see your place. When you walk into work with the Spirit of God within you, and you just walk into a room and all this light just bust out all everywhere. And when you turn on the lights, the roaches scatter. And sometimes we're just thinking about what we're going through and what's happening in our life, but you don't realize the light is within you. And you walk in, you'd be like, why are they looking at me funny? Why are they acting at me? Why are they giving me all this attitude? Because the presence of God has come into the room. And when you got folks who in their sin and in their mess and they don't want to give it up, you just walk in, you'd be like, I ain't saying nothing about your lifestyle. Folks start talking about gay marriage, about their partner or their friend or what, and you didn't say nothing. You ain't gave your opinion on it. And they give you an hand, they give you that look. Oh, so you a homophobe? I ain't saying nothing. Why? Because the light is there. Conviction comes in. When you walk in, they get convicted. So when that opposition is there, keep remembering it's for the harvest. Because even though there are some hard heads that don't want it, there's some other folks that are on that job. They want it. And you become the way of escape for them. God provides you like a life preserver for them. I can't tell you all the stories. I can't get into it. The 10 years that we've been here, the majority of our ministry has not taken place in this building. The majority of our ministry takes place on our job. And the time that the Lord gave us with our children. We told everybody that part of the theme in this new year is going to be children's ministry starts at home. Youth ministry starts at home. Yeah, that's where we're going this year. A couple of months back, I had someone call, left a message, and they had a list of things that they were looking for in a church. And so we couldn't meet their criteria, so they didn't come. And after that, see, a few years ago, that would have made me start wondering, well, Lord, do we need to get a children's ministry? So we tried. Do we need to get a children's ministry and a youth ministry? We tried all of that. We tried. We actually tried. Never been able to get those things off the ground. So the Lord just kind of spoke to me and said, where's children's ministry been for your children? He's like, at home. Where is teen ministry for your children? Yeah, at home. Where was young adult ministry for your sons? At home. I said, teach that. Teach that in Harrisburg. So that you don't go out looking for a church to be your children's minister. You don't go out looking for a church to be looking for some teen pastor. At home. I'll close with this one, my one and only closing. I'll close with this. My brother told us he had got a chance to meet with several leaders from around the country. And these leaders have come together and they have made this assessment. They said, over the last 30 years, we realize that we've made a big mistake, that we've been putting the emphasis on church growth instead of family growth. That all of these years, we should have been teaching the people of God how to minister in their own homes. These are big name ministries that are now recognizing after 30 years, all these years, we should have been teaching husbands how to love their wives. We should have been teaching wives how to reverence their husbands. We should have been teaching parents how to raise their children. We should have been teaching children how to obey their parents. That way we wouldn't have needed to think we got to have a children's pastor and we got to have a teen pastor. We should have been teaching about growth in the home. So my brother encouraged me. He was talking on the phone. It was one of those long conversations we had. So he says, you've been doing it the right way in Harrisburg. It doesn't matter how few people come. Said, even the big churches are now recognizing they better take it home. They better put the emphasis back in the home. No longer can these, and I'm not speaking against them because I come from a pretty large ministry, but the numbers can't be the thing that qualifies a ministry in our sight. If it's got a lot of people, it must be legit. I had a pastor tell us youth pastors, he had a big church, about 4,000 members. He told us, he said, numbers don't mean nothing. He said, I got a big church. He said, it's just a big baby. He said, my church grew out of injury. He said, you know, if you injure certain parts of the body, it'll just swell up. He said, my church grew out of injury. People came here. They was hurt from other churches, and so they came here. And he said, so we had swelling. Not church growth. We had swelling. So he said, don't think that every time you see somebody that's got a large ministry that they've got a mature ministry, that they've got an effective ministry. He said, I tell people all the time, don't pay no attention to the fact that I got 4,000 members. He said, I got 4,000 babies. He said, I'd rather have a church of 100 if I had some maturity. My God. And before we came here to Harrisburg, my Lord kept giving me this dream of us with this child. But although it was the size of some baby, maybe like 2 years old, it was talking like a 10-year-old. It was behaving much more maturely than its size. Little did I know. He was talking about what our ministry would be like here. It would be small in size, but there would be maturity. The real measure of growth. So this year, y'all, it's all for the harvest. There's going to be longer days, less leisure, limited license, meaning do stay on consistency, be consistent. That's what limited license. Don't take license to do this and do that. No, stay consistent. And linked liabilities. Linked liabilities means how you act and behave. It affects all of us. We're linked, so it's going to require covenant. If you're a bad witness on your job, it's reflected on me. You're a bad witness in your school, it's reflected on me. You're a bad witness in your neighborhood, it's reflected on all of us. They're not going to separate. They're going to say, well, that's just the kind of Christian you are. No. That's just you. People don't do that in any category. One woman mess up, all women like that. One man mess up, all of them. One pastor mess up, all of them. Want your money. One believer is a hypocrite on the job. All of them are hypocrites. So we got linked liability. So let's walk in covenant. Come on, let's just say it's all for the harvest. Come on, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this time that you have given us. Thank you once again for how you blessed us this past year in 2014. Thank you, Lord God, for the $25,000. But more importantly, we thank you for the lives, the time, the energy, the commitment. Lord, those $25,000 represents so much more than currency. That was the giving up of someone's life and time and energy and blood. It was spent in the workplace, and they received compensation for time and energy and life that was spent in the workplace. But they took the money that they were given in compensation for that time. And they invested it here. Because this was important to them. Because you were more important. You have the priority. And we thank you, Lord, for people who have a heart for you like that. That the kingdom of God and your righteousness takes priority over everything else. Lord, there were those who really did have incredible financial needs, but still they gave and they invested so that somebody over in Russia would log on and hear a word of encouragement. Lord, they gave and sowed. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the increase that we have seen thus far, all the while knowing that you have something greater in mind, even for the future. And so, Lord, we say amen. Yes and amen. Thank you, Lord God. We just give you thanks for what you have done. Yes, Lord God. And now, Lord, as we continue with what you have for us in the future, Lord, I thank you for a people whose hearts are fully and completely yours. We ask you, Lord God, you told us to pray, the Lord of the harvest, that you will send forth laborers. So, Lord, we ask you for that for this year. You told us to call this year that it's all for the harvest. So, God, we are praying now that you will send forth laborers. Put the vision in the heart of those who, for each and every area that's still lacking, each and every area where there's a slot that's been carved out just for them. Lord, place it in every heart. Give them a compassion. Yes, Lord God, for souls like never before. Yes, Lord God, do something new in every single one of us throughout this year. We don't know what this year holds. Last year had some real shockers for us. Some very dear people, you called them home. Some precious generals in the faith, you called them home. But Lord, you've left behind a new generation with a fresh vision. Yes, Lord God, for these end times. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the assignment that you've placed in our hands. We bless you, Lord God.